us and allowing us to have a facility today to have some DMI. And you may not know what a DMI is, but I trust by the time the evening's over, you will. And we just have been blessed in being able to use your facility and had a just been enjoying a day with Owen and Wanda. And look forward to just a little bit more time yet with them later on here. But just thank you for allowing us to come and share in this way. Sometimes we feel, as we do PR trips, we feel like sponges. We feel like we're taking advantage of other people's goodness and generosity and things. And yet, I feel that way, but also know it's the Lord's work, and we're all involved in the Lord's work, and so it should all kind of come together. And I trust you can feel that same way, at least. And I know as we share PR programs, I feel it is so important. There's just so many benefits that come from a PR program, from PR trips. I feel it's so important for myself to share my testimony with those that I come in contact with. And I thank the Lord for doing that for me. I'm an introvert, and it's hard for me to talk. And I know for myself that I can walk up to a stranger and talk to him about the Lord easier than I can a lot of other things. And I thank the Lord for that, for giving me that. Because that's not who I am, and it's just by His grace that He does that. But I feel it's so important for these young men as they really begin to get rooted and grounded in Christ, that they, this part of their life is sharing their testimony on a regular basis. And I think this kind of, we do a PR trip every about 6 months. We do a large one like we are this time. We have like 45 people with us this time, which is all of us except for just a couple children, older children that stayed home. And we do a larger one in late winter, or anyways, February area, and then we do one in November. So every 6 months, or twice a year at least, we kind of do these. And so that way, there's almost no resident that goes through the program that doesn't have the opportunity to share his testimony several times before he leaves. So hopefully he'll kind of be in that practice as he leaves, and we'll continue that. And then also we just do it too, just for prayer support, and also to make so that you know how to pray for us more specifically in a better way. And we talk about oftentimes how that Satan deals in generalities, but God deals in specifics. And if you don't believe that, I mentioned it the other evening, but you know, God doesn't just know that you have a head of hair. He knows exactly how many you have. I mean, he deals in specifics. And he knows some things that are going on inside here that we can't even understand yet. We can count here if we take the time, but there's a lot of things going on the way that he designed us that they're still just learning today, and we think we're pretty wise and things. But so God loves when we give him praise and when we get specific in dealing with sin. Just a little bit on the order of the service this evening. I'm just going to share just a short devotional, after which Tim Weaver, our administrator, will be sharing a PowerPoint presentation with you, just kind of giving an overview and an overlay of the working that goes on there at the training center. And I'm sure that a lot of you are fairly familiar with it, being Owen was there with us for a while. It's been a while since that happened, and it's been really good to connect. But just try to, again, refresh your memory in those areas. And so Brother Tim will be doing that. And then Wendell, one of our single counselors, will be leading the men in singing their songs and testimonies and be kind of giving direction during that time. And then after the men share their testimonies and songs, the single staff will also share a song with us. And then right after the single staff are done sharing their song, I'm gonna come back up and kind of close, maybe you could say, that part of the service. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to share what God shared with you tonight as you listen to the men share their testimonies and songs. So it's going to be an opportunity for you to give input at that point. And One thing I kind of failed to forget, we were blessed this, we're doing 13 programs, and in four of these programs, we are privileged to have a former resident with us, and that's Weldon and Donna Hurt, and Weldon has consented to share his testimony with us this evening. I'm really looking forward to that. And Weldon, how long ago did you leave Fresh Start? Year ago Thanksgiving. So you'll see what God is still doing in his life. I'm sure that's what he's going to share. It's a current one. So pray for Weldon as he does that. And as blessed that knowing that Weldon's going to share this evening. Maybe just for a short devotional, so I don't run into Tim's time, I'd like to look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106 is a psalm of the Israelites going their journey, and their journey from Egypt to Canaan, and we all know that there's a lot of types and shadows there in the Old Testament, and Egypt being a type of sin, and how they were delivered from sin, and they're in the wilderness, and we know the journey experience, and yet, and sometimes I get so critical of them, and then I have to think, you know, they wandered for 40 years. And we read that passage, and we just hear these complaining and murmuring tribe of people. And yet, as we process it, that's so much just who I am. If I had to eat man and quail for 40 years, I know I'd have been one of the grumblers. I know I would. It's sad, but I know I would. And I just know who I am. I like variety, and I knew the Lord was speaking to me to go to missions, and I just knew he'd call me to South America because they had served rice and beans and they had bugs, you know, and I was just thinking, God, I can't go there. But God's working on some of those things, so praise the Lord for his faithfulness. But anyways, reading a Psalm 106, beginning of verse 43, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. As I was reading that passage today there, a couple things, it just kind of gives a, there's actually just a couple psalms here that it just kind of gives a, just a, it puts everything in a nutshell of 40 years. And it just kind of gives a listing and things. But you know, as we read the story there through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and we see the journey of the children of Israel, we see so many times that he delivered them. And then they would provoke him to anger again. And isn't that just the way we are so much today? We get delivered from sin, we get set free, and we're rejoicing in God, and things are going well. And then we think we're doing so good that we can live life on our own strength and our own wisdom and our own knowledge. And then God has to again bring affliction to us to bring us to where he can work with us and where we're responsive as we ought to be to him. And as we go through there, it says he remembered them and it repented him. And the one thought, phrase that stuck out to me here this evening too was, according to the multitude of his mercies. Christ has a multitude, or I looked at it as a warehouse, a storehouse, just full of mercy that he wants to extend to us. If we just listen to his reproof, to his correction, to his instruction. And the Lord does pity us. He knows we're made of human flesh and we're just clay. And he's not... this evening in our devotional time downstairs, the one thought that was brought out was that God wants us to just sign a blank contract with him. He wants our signature. He wants to hand us a blank contract and wants us to sign it. Are we able to do that? Are we able to do that? Do I trust God enough that He loves me so much that whatever He wants for me is for my good? Do I really believe that in my heart? That I'm willing to just sign a blank contract and give it to Him and say, "Here, God, this is for you. And I'm willing to do whatever you fill in." That's where God wants us to live. That's not an easy place to live. That's not a comfortable place to live. But I believe that's where we each one need to get to. Before Tim comes up, let's just have one more word of prayer. Lord, we come before you. Again, we beseech your throne, Lord. We ask that you would come down and the forces of Satan would be driven back, that your name would be honored and glorified this evening as Tim shares in the PowerPoint and as the men share their testimonies and singing and in songs and singing praises to you. We just want you to be glorified and not the training center. Lord, we know we're nothing and you're everything. But Lord, I thank you that because of you, that we can be called the sons of the living God. We thank you, Lord, for adopting us into your family, making us joint heirs with you. Help us, Lord, to live as your sons. And we just ask, Lord, that you would rule and reign through this service. Touch the hearts of each of those that have come out this evening. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, Brother Tim.
It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Some of the mission goals at Fresh Start, many people wonder what we are. We could be probably best described as an intense Christian discipleship ministry. Some of our primary goals would be that, number one, an individual would have a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number two, that he would have a greater love for the people that God has placed in his life. Luke 10 and verse 27, that says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So we found the ministry on these basic principles. We do believe that all of life is lived from the heart. So we will focus on developing a heart that is free from sin and any weight that would hinder us from the highest achievement possible, which is to love the Lord our God. A disciple is a follower of the Lord. He recognizes his need for personal growth and willingly submits to certain measures of control that provide a framework for that growth to take place. Since we have only a limited amount of time together, and Fresh Start operates with the generous gifts of Christians, we work hard in a structured environment. We'll take you to a bit of the background of Fresh Start. This is our founder, the late Abe Knapp, his wife Viola, and they have paved the way in so many ways for the ministry that is there today, even though Abe has been passed away now for a couple years. We simply say thank you for their giving to the Lord and showing us the foundations there. A bit more of the history. Abe started working in our county jail back in 1979. Soon after that, became the chaplain there. And this was kind of the foundation and along with the vision that God had put in Abe's heart to found a ministry such as Fresh Start. And so Fresh Start was founded back in 1985. Board of directors was formed. This house here was purchased on Main Street there in our little town of Washington. And that was the very beginning of a place called Fresh Start. Short time later, 1987, there was a direct need for expansion. And so land was purchased and cleared off. Soon after that, construction began. And we have Fresh Start as we know it today. And God has blessed us with a wonderful facility that is very practical for the ministry today. We're grateful for his provisions there. Our current board of directors is made up of men from our local congregation as well as a couple neighboring congregations. They are assisted by a six-member advisory board as well, and so we're grateful for that possibility. We'll move into a daily schedule. Morning routines, 5:30 is rising time, time to fix the beds and get ready for the day. We have Bible reading assignments, Mark 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, Psalm 77, and Proverbs 16. Proverbs correlating with the day of the month and thereby we go through the book of Proverbs each month. 7 o'clock is breakfast time, where there is a devotional time followed by the food. By 7:30, there are two different activities going on. The staff fellows are in a staff meeting. The residents are in study time. And following those items, there's also prayer time by both groups of individuals, spending time on a daily basis crying out to God for the needs that are before us. We have two classes each day. Our first class is a time of singing, sharing, praying together, discussing what has inspired our devotional time, and just a very open time of being honest with each other about the struggles that we may be facing in life. Second class, then, is more of a structured teaching class. There's subjects such as inner healing, interpersonal relationships, the disciplines of a godly man, the upward call, Christian character, as well as various seminars that we're able to participate in there in the training center or the training room. Second class, or actually both classes, are taught by one of us on staff or by video curriculum, either one. 10:30 takes us to the time that Verlin was talking about a bit earlier, what we call DMI, or our counseling time. DMI actually stands for Daily Moral Inventory. And one of the goals there at the training center is to teach men how to address problems and conflicts on a daily basis. You'll notice here both single fellows as well as married couples in the counseling process. 1 o'clock in the afternoon takes us to our shop time. In our shop, we are wholesale manufacturers of all kinds of outdoor lawn furniture as well as gazebos, both in wood and vinyl. A product line that we recently added is that of dovetail drawer boxes, and we appreciate the blessing of God on the shop ministry there, and we're going to be looking a bit more at that at this time. Some of the goals of the shop, number one, is to teach job skills, how to get along with an employer, how to make an employer successful. Number two is to build godly character, particularly that character of serving and giving, being a blessing to the people around us. The third goal of our shop program is to assist in financially supporting the counseling ministry. The shop has been very instrumental in the financial support. Our products are wholesaled through a network of dealers, and the monies that are realized from the shop program do come back in to support the counseling ministry, and that's been a real blessing for the work of the Fresh Start Training Center. Evening activities include a variety of things. We'll look at just a few pictures of some recent activities. The fellows here singing at a local nursing home, an activity that they do twice a month. Fellows also enjoy going on walks, packaging newsletters. I don't know if you here, I'm assuming that some of you here get our newsletters. And so our fellows are very instrumental in getting those packed up and ready to go. We enjoy a game of volleyball or that kind of thing on occasion. Each evening is concluded with a time of sharing where we evaluate our day, where we surrender to God any conflicts that may have been part of our day, as well as receiving scriptural input to carry with us as we go to bed each evening. Wednesday is a bit of a different day at Fresh Start. We have an activity called Sociogram. Proverbs says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so Sociogram is an activity where we share blind spots with each other, and we spend the entire forenoon on Wednesdays discussing those blind spots and seeing how we can improve ourselves. We have a little song that we're going to sing as we go through these next couple slides.
Him, but don't Speak in kindness to his blindness. We, my brother, need each other. Oh, God, help us with our blindness.
Not only do we share the blind spot areas, those things that we don't really see in our own hearts, we also conclude that time with sharing the positive things, the things that we have learned to do well. And both of those in conjunction with each other are very effective in changing hearts and changing lives. Another activity on Wednesday afternoon is our general staff meeting. Each week we meet together as an entire staff team to plan various activities and to stay connected with each other as we minister to the ongoing needs there at the training center. Wednesday evenings, we participate in a jail ministry. Brother Verlin, who was up here just a few minutes ago, serves as chaplain there at the county jail, and we're privileged to be able to participate in many of the activities there. There's Bible study on Wednesday evening, discipleship classes on Thursday. There are four church services going on simultaneously on Sunday mornings. There's Bible and Bible study course distribution, as well as Singspirations and seminars that take place in the county jail. And we're just so grateful to be able to have a county sheriff and a jail staff who are excited about lives being transformed and the possibility of transformation within the walls of the jail, thus reducing the number of people coming back into the jail time after time again. And so it's an outreach that is very practical for our fellows to be able to share and minister to other people. There's a couple things that are very much looked forward to at Fresh Start. One of those is graduation day. It's a day when fellows are sent back home. They receive a Fresh Start certificate of completion, a positive gram, Fresh Start jacket, as well as a group hug. And it's just our little way of sending fellows back home with our blessing, and being able to encourage them as they go on their way. Another aspect of the Fresh Start Training Center is that of the HEART program. HEART standing for Heart Evangelism and Relationship Training. The HEART program is simply a training program to equip people to serve both at Fresh Start and beyond. Many of the principles learned in the HEART program are applicable to many other applications in life, whether it be missions or ministry of any sort. Program overview, it would include an 18-month term of service. 3 months of that is an intensive training, followed by 15 months internship. And there are many long-term staff opportunities that would follow that. And we've seen the HEART program be very effective in reaching our own staff's hearts and assisting them in dealing with personal issues in their lives, and thus helping them to become better equipped to serve the people around them. The HEART program is a requirement for all new staff coming in. It is part of our staff training program, and we're grateful for the positive effect that it has had for the training center. Ways that you can be involved. Verlin mentioned prayer. And prayer is really the number one reason why we do these programs. And so we want to look at some things that you can pray for. We would ask that you would pray for daily growth in Christlikeness. We all need that, both staff and residents. We ask that you would pray for wisdom for our staff and our board of directors. There's an awesome sense of responsibility that goes with discipling and mentoring people in the ways of God. Currently, we have some staff needs. And first and foremost, our greatest need right now on staff is single fellows to serve as counselors or mentors for other single men. And here we're simply looking for people who are committed to God and committed to making a positive effect to the people around them. And so we would invite your prayer, and maybe even more than prayer. If there are people here that God is calling, we would invite you to contact us for ways to be involved there. There's also many other staff possibilities available as well from time to time. Other ways that you can be involved is to send or sponsor any kind of food products. Food is very expendable there at Fresh Start with 45 people in our team. And so any kind of food, meat or garden products is always welcome. Finances for our general operating expenses. Our monthly budget is around $35,000. And so it does take a bit of operating capital. The Abe Knapp Memorial Bible Fund, a fund that provides Bibles into our county jail, is another avenue of giving. There's many other special needs projects, and currently one of those projects is needing a commercial washer and dryer for our upstairs dormitory. And so we would invite you to consider what God may be asking you to do to assist in some of these areas. So we conclude the PowerPoint presentation. We'd like to graciously thank those who have sponsored our trip. Our bus transportation is provided by K&K Bus Lines as well as Auto House Coach at no charge to the training center. And then the financial portion of the trip for finances for fuel, food, and many other things, that has all been sponsored by individuals, businesses, and churches of our local community. And we are so grateful to those who have blessed the training center by making this trip totally prepaid for us, and we're really grateful for that. On behalf of all of us, we say a big thank you for allowing us to be here tonight and sharing in this way. It is a special privilege that we have to share this time with you. If we could have the lights again, please. Well, I hope that gives you just a bit of an idea of what goes on at Fresh Start. And so now as our fellows come forward and share in singing and in testimonies, I pray that God will open your heart and that you will connect with the work that God is doing. You know, and the work that we are going to hear about here tonight is not a completed work. God says in His Word that He will not leave off the work that He has begun in our hearts until the day of completion, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are grateful that that work is not finished yet. We are still a work in progress. And so we're going to give our attention to Brother Wendell as well as the rest of the fellows from the training center at this time.
It is a blessing to be here today, tonight, and I'm just excited that God will make the difference and can make the difference in our life. And as you notice on your program, the theme this year is the wonder of it all.
and sharing a few songs on Christ's gift of love, his suffering, as well as the dry times in our life, the dark times in our life, how God uses those and works through those experiences. And then we, just seeing the whole then the last song being the wonder of it all. And it's, we think of the wonder, how does that affect me? How is that affecting you?
Scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be
your transgressions and remember them no more. Thank God he doesn't remember mine, because there's a lot to remember if he would. My name is Tony Weaver. I'm from Southern Illinois. I want to give you a little history of my life and where I'm at now. I was born and raised in a conservative Mennonite home, and at age 13 I became a Christian, went through instruction class, but was not baptized because of immoral failure. Through my teen years, I was lonely, depressed, but at 17, I was baptized into the church, which made me feel better. I was on the right road. But I still had that lonely, empty void in my life, and I tried to fill it with women, girls, sex, anything for a temporary fix. But it didn't last. I got into masturbation, phone sex, texting sex, basically committed fornication, and eventually had my church membership terminated. I was very depressed and discouraged. I didn't want to face life anymore. I put the shells in my gun to take my life. Thank God, He saved me from that awful mistake. But in that discouraging, depressing moment, I didn't go where I should have for help right away. I still looked to myself and things that felt good at the moment. And eventually I came to my senses. I wasn't gaining ground. I was only backsliding. Was counseling with a church minister at the time, and he suggested that I go to Fresh Start for an interview, and I said I'd try it. I'd do that, and I knew I needed help. I couldn't do it alone, but basically, I was a pretty good person except for my immorality. I did a lot of things right. I wasn't a real arrogant, proud person, I didn't think, and so I was going to go get help for my immorality, and I was going to work the program, be done as soon as possible. 8 months was my goal. After being there for 2 months, I took a look at myself. I said, I've not really gained any ground. I'm no further ahead than what I was when I came. What am I doing? What am I not doing? And somebody pointed out to me that they didn't think I had a good relationship with God. I said, what in the world? I said to myself, I didn't say it to him. I'm a Christian. I was a church member, but I have my devotions. I pray. I've got a relationship with God. It started coming together. You know what? I'm not getting anywhere in my Christian life. Maybe I don't. I said, God, what is wrong with me? What do I need to do? I want to have a relationship with you. And I said, talk to me. And then he did. And I started realizing the proud, stubborn person I was. I had a lot of other problems besides immorality that I needed to get rid of and get out of my life so God could work. And he did. I'm at Fresh Start till he till he leads me home or leads me somewhere else, till he's done with me there, whatever he wants. My challenge is to the young people especially, there's always hope. Don't ever be discouraged. Don't ever give up. I feel like I'm 22 years old. I feel like I've wasted the first 20 years of my life. But I'm good. I've changed. And I hope to make the next 20 years. I want to honor and glorify God in that. And my second challenge is you can live right and dress right for 20 years and still be an old man inside, and the devil can have you. Thank you for your attention, and I'm still at the beginning of my journey, so keep praying for me.
I'm Lester Host Edler from Wyandotte and Fairland, Oklahoma. I am here at Fresh Start because I found out in my life that I needed help. And I just thank the Lord that He has provided this place for me to get help. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that He has shown me where I stand and what I am, and that I am really nothing before God. Nothing. I am nothing before God. It is only by His grace and mercy that He has kept me this far, that I came to the place where I realized that I need God's help to keep me on the journey to heaven. And I surely don't want to miss heaven. I as I look at things in life, I find that I had anger in my life, and I had bitterness, and also I needed to look at myself and see that it's not only bitterness, but also I had attitudes, and I had pride in my life, and pride is something that will not stand before the Almighty God. Pride is something that is so sneaky. It sneaks up on us. But I'm so glad that he has shown me these things. And I look at the scripture. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then I ask myself the question, what are these things? Well, these things are everything under the sun except what God wants. God wants to have a broken spirit. He wants to have a broken heart that is willing to accept what he has for us. I got a couple of scriptures here I'd like to read a little bit. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, that is a verse that I have been meditating on for a number of years. But it came clear to me that if we have anything else but that, and that we can have this lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life. If Christ has risen in my life, then I can have this hope that he gives to us. Then on verse 4 it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's what we are looking for, is that salvation from God, and that it will be revealed to us in time to come if we are faithful unto the end. My prayer is that I can be faithful to him, and these things that I have confessed, I'm glad to do that, and I trust and I know that the Lord has forgiven me for those things of what I just confessed. I know I had attitudes that were not very good, and I just thank the Lord that he has shown me these things. And as I look at my life, it's kind of like this, that song that we sing sometimes, that he is still working on me. And I feel that's what he is doing today. He is still working on me, showing me things in life that need to be taken care of. And I just thank the Lord for what the blood of Christ has done for me, in saving my life from eternal damnation. There's nobody here that will want to go to that terrible place of hell. I just thank the Lord that he has shown me these things, and I ask that you remember me in prayer as we go forth from here. May the Lord bless each one.
My heart is hard.
Good evening. It's good to be here, but it's not good to be right here. I'm a little nervous tonight, I guess, standing up here. My name is Daniel Chubb, and I'm from Grove City, Minnesota. I was born in Canada, raised in a Mennonite home. I was involved in some pornography. I was involved in some sexual child play. But my life at my growing up years were good, I think. I was a second born child, and I can look back and say they were good, and yet I had this void, and I felt rejected. I felt lonely. I didn't have too many friends, probably not. I was more of a loner. I was more of a quiet person. And I was accepted Jesus into my heart at the age of 15, and became part of the church. And I was a good Mennonite. I could go to church. I could close my top button. I could wear my suit coat. But I was lonely inside. I was rejected. And I started working for a farmer before I was out of school, at the age of 15. And I was working for him about a year. And I was 16 at that time. And like I said, I was working for him for about a year. And one morning, his wife called and said that this man passed away last night. And I didn't find it out then, but I found it out later on that day that he had committed suicide. And here was a man that I looked up to and had a good relationship with, I thought. And he was probably like a middle 50s, probably. And I went through some dark times there in my life of some depression and wondering if life is worth it. What is life? I had thoughts of committing suicide myself. Even though I didn't tell anyone, I still went to church every Sunday. I still did everything just right. But I finally came to the point where I said, yes, I got Jesus to live for. It's worth it. And that gave me hope, and I think that's where my vision started to reach out to other people, no matter how old they are, how young they are. My boss was needy, and I'm convinced he didn't go to heaven. I don't think he was a Christian. And the opportunities that I had there that I didn't take. And but even after that, I can say that. And yet I was angry at God for allowing this to happen. And angry at myself. And I had a desire to do something for God. I knew God wanted me to do something for him in life. And so I thought, I came to Fresh Start on staff there. And I thought I think I did do it for the right reasons. But yet I did it to get acceptance, to make people look up to me. I still had that void. And I can say that I've been there for 9 months now, but it's been hard. It's been I don't think I've barely begun, I don't think. It's to see my pride, anger at God, bitterness toward my parents, and lust was a huge thing in my life. And getting acceptance from other people. And yeah, like I said, I don't feel like I've attained. There's no way I can say that. I'm a man with struggles. I'm a man that does not have it together. And God is real. And in the dark times, it feels like He is there. I don't know how to explain it, but I can say that God is good. And God has brought me to new heights with Him, even though I'm not there. And so, yeah, give God the praise. He is still real and alive.
It's really dark and cold tonight, and I'm so tired and all alone. I feel a ray of hope inside. Oh Lord, why did you ever make night? I made the night in me. I made the night so you would place your hand in mine. I made the night so in the early morning you could see my sun rise and shine.
you may have to bear with me a little bit tonight. I came right after a PR trip and left before the next one. And in our fellowship, we don't do this, so this is my first time. And as we present what little we have on our mind, I don't want to blame anyone else. The decisions that I made that were not good, I made them, and I was responsible. And we feel we've been forgiven of many of them, hopefully all of them. I remember, I don't know what age it was, that I had a problem with wetting the bed. They told me I had a small bladder, and I thought that was the problem. But after being a Fresh Start, I think maybe it was a sign of some inner turmoil. And as I look back in my life, I do not ever remember a time that I didn't have trouble with depression. Not that I had it every day, but when I'd get on top of it, it wasn't too long till it come again. And as we lived in a home of a minister, preaching was very, very important, and making money was very, very important. And, my dad might have said he loved me one time. There's two times that he praised me. I was a lonely boy. I was the good boy on the outside. The mothers with young boys, they said, I just hope that when my boys get in young folks, there'll be some boys there as nice as you. They didn't know it all. No. Back behind the scenes, many a night I went to bed so discouraged that I didn't know. I didn't feel I could face another day. We just felt like we needed an escape. We needed a way to get away from our struggles. And we turned to doing various things. There at night, we got involved in masturbation. We got involved in fantasizing. Maybe you could call it daydreaming or night dreaming or whatever you want to call it. And I would fantasize night after night after night. I figured out how I was going to have a big hog operation and where the buildings was going to be and where the sows would be and on and on and on. And then I would fantasize other things. And I did this for years. I fantasized immorality. I fantasized committing suicide. It's only by the grace of God I'm here. I could tell you yet some of the ways I was going to do it. And one night, I decided this is a night. I was waking up about midnight every night, midnight to 2 o'clock, and this was a night. And I didn't wake up that night. So we was good on the outside, they thought. But back on the backside, I did a lot of the things that boys will do sometimes. And then as we got older, there was one time that I decided that I wanted to be baptized. And my family said, he thinks he's getting religious. Well, I don't think that was too good, but what I did was worse. It didn't happen for a long, long time. And finally, in about a 3-year period, my father died, and I was baptized, and I got married, and we had a very colicky baby, and I was put to the ministry. And I struggled with that load a little bit. Seemed like things was coming too fast. And I don't think we had a real bad marriage. But when I was real depressed, we struggled. We really did. I've been to Mayo's. I've been to places in Topeka. We made an effort in Texas. Spent 22 days in the Shawnee Mission Hospital. One time I went to the doctor, and he became alarmed about my condition and called the law, and I went to Osawatomie State Hospital, where I was there for a week. And in that week, I only remember one thing that happened. Got out of there, and I don't know, a week or 10 days later, I had an all-time low. And my dear wife chose to go elsewhere. I came to Prairie View at Newton, and I was there about 40 days. I'd been to Fresh Start once before and considered going, but I decided that I didn't want to at that time. But we had been so low for so long, so many times, we was ready to go. And I don't know what Tim would say, but I know we bugged him on the phone a lot. I don't know if we begged or not, but we realized something had to change. And so we went down there, and as we have been with this group the last few days, a lot of those memories have come back. And I visited with some of the residents and tried to encourage them. I just want to see the success in them that we feel we've had. We had a super counselor work with us. And I remember one thing he told me one time. I asked him, I said, how long are you going to be with me and help me? And he said, for life. I still call him. I still talk to him from time to time. And we was there a while, and then Donna come down, and she was in the trailer for just a little bit, and then we moved in with her. And it was a very blessed experience. There was a time earlier in our marriage life that I didn't want to come home. But today, when I come around the corner and look into our parking lot, I'd look for her escape. I look for it. Is she there? I'm excited. And, you know, I go to the door, and she don't always hear me, but quite often she comes to the door, and, oh, she's so glad to see me. That makes a man feel that somebody is respecting him and that they need him. And I just feel at a complete loss to explain to you the beauties of our marriage at this time. I had my dreams back whenever we was going together, but it supersedes that. You know, God has taken his love and sent it to her, and she's brought it to me. And it's wonderful. So I just want to encourage you all to realize that there's hope. There's room for improvement. And down there, and they presented one of the seminars, they presented the idea that it would be a good idea to open the door for your wife. And we've been exposed to that before. We tried it a little bit. We'd go through the mechanics of it. I'd go over and open the door, and she'd jump out, and away she'd go. But, you know, that's all changed now. very seldom do I miss opening the door for her. I want to open the door for her. It all is worth it. Whenever she looks up into my eyes and she says, "Thank you. I appreciate it." I cannot thank Fresh Start enough for what they've done for me. That's the reason we're with them, just trying to encourage others. This is our third meeting that we've been with them, and we've cried every time. Tears of joy, tears of thankfulness, and it can be yours. It can be yours if you will surrender to God and more or less do like we've heard tonight. Sign a contract and leave the page blank for Him to fill it out in our lives.
See you.
rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. Trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice!